this is Jean Carriger of Capstone Marketing. I am thrilled to be talking today with Jamie Thomas, the Director of Marketing and Communications for the LBA Group. Jamie was honored as the 2013 Marketer of the Year, which is an award given at the annual AIM conference and is sponsored by the CPA Practice Management Forum, a Wolters Kluwer publication. Jamie has 17 years of experience in marketing professional services firms, including law and accounting. Since 2000, she has led the LBA Group's vision for growth by directing the client service and marketing efforts for the firm. Jamie is a keen strategist who successfully aligns her firm's marketing strategies with its business goals. She continually elevates her firm to the next level with an integrated mix of outreaches such as print, web, direct mail, events, and sponsorships. Jamie is a past president of AIM. She was the chair of the 2012 Annual Summit for AIM and has been named one of the 100 most influential people in accounting. Now, Jamie, when you received this award, it was kind of loud, and I want to read part of Sandra Lim's presentation to you when she referred to LBA's core values, which stand for heart, and I understand LBA even refers to itself as the firm with a heart.
We do.
Right. So these values are help others succeed, empower people and knowledge, always do the right thing, relationship-driven, teamwork, and trust. And here's what Sandra said. But I would say that Jamie is the heart. In fact, Jamie is the heart and soul of the initiatives that drive her firm above and beyond others in the industry. Congratulations, Jamie, on being named Marketer of the Year. How do you take this all in? How do you feel?
Oh, my gosh. It's been, well, first of all, you know that you're nominated for that award. And I'm pretty sure that I had just not allowed myself to even believe it was possible that I could actually win. And I have to share a little secret with you. When they threw up the slide at the conference that they were going to present the Marketer of the Year Award, I almost went to the bathroom so that I was not even in the room because I thought, gosh, I just don't want to be here for that disappointment. I think I had so convinced myself that it just wasn't possible. So it was amazing that night, and it was loud, and I have to be honest, I think when you're in that moment, I'm not sure that I really remember much of what Sandra said, and nor do I really remember much of what I said when I was up on stage receiving the award. So it's a true honor, first of all, to be honored for something that you just love to do. And I absolutely love my job. I love the firm that I do it for. I work with a fantastic team of people. And it's been a whirlwind since we got back. My partners have been gushing. And I'm getting to a point where I'm telling them, okay, that's enough now. Let's just get back to work. But yeah,
well,
it's been fantastic.
As I understand it, they even gave you a party last night.
They did. It was a nice little cocktail party with just the partners and our firm's administrator and my marketing coordinator. So it was just the group of us. It was very, very, very nice and very appreciated.
Well, I think it's very well deserved. And clearly the relationship you have with your partners and with your firm and the passion you have for what you do has probably played a big part in your earning this recognition.
I think the relationship that any marketing or business development director and or the relationship with the partner group is probably 90% of the battle in this position. It's just so vital to have that trust and that communication and being on the same page and having that relationship is just so important, I think.
So tell me, then let's go off script a little bit. Tell me how you've built that relationship, because obviously this is something that happens over time. Are there any specific things that you've done that have helped you with that?
Well, and I think so. They might have a different story than mine, but it is my belief that the reason we have such a great relationship is, and this is advice that I give to younger marketers as they're coming in, is that I didn't come in to the firm, and I started with the firm 13 years ago. So it was 2000. They had never had a marketing director in their history of the firm. And so I didn't come in with guns a-blazing saying, okay, this is what we're going to do, and you have to do this, and we're going to do this, and you have to do this. And I came in and listened. I listened to how the firm had been built up to that point. I listened to what they specialized in at the time. I sat down and met with each partner, and in 2000 there were only five. We now have 9 or 11, or we have one that just retired, and we have, so how many do we have now?
It's kind of a moving number at the moment, huh?
Right, exactly. So, and I think that's the key. I think that I earned their trust because I didn't come in and just force things down their throat. I came in and really listened to what they had been doing and absolutely did not assume in any way, shape, or form that I knew better than they did, because this is their firm. And it has kept that way of doing business together that we do continues. Now, I have certainly grown in my career, and so there are times now that I will say to them, this is what we need to do. But I couldn't have done that coming in.
Right.
So I think that's really important. I think it's really important to listen to the partners and really understand what it is that they do and what they enjoy doing and the types of clients they enjoy serving, and because that helps to build a marketing strategy.
Right. Now, you've done, I think you do a lot in the community, and you know, we just talked earlier about the firm's core values and referring to LBA as the firm with a heart. Does the community outreach and activities, does that play a big part of your marketing efforts?
Yes, it does. And that, too, was started very, very early in my career at LBA. When I first got here, that was one of the first initiatives that we put into play. I took a look at where each of the partners focused their practice, both from a technical standpoint and from an industry perspective. We have a very big healthcare niche here, and so it was very obvious that one of the partners was very healthcare focused. And so I took a look at what they all specialized in, and then we took a look at the community organizations within Jacksonville and beyond, Northeast Florida. And I helped them to determine where they needed to commit their time. And it had to go hand in hand with what they were passionate about. And I tell this to all my accountants in the firm from the time they're a staff member and all the way through partner. I don't want you to get involved with something because you think you have to. I want you to get involved with something because you're passionate about it and you're going to love doing what you do for that organization. Otherwise, you won't do it. So we started very early getting them involved in community organizations and boards of directors, and there's certainly a business aspect to that. You look at who else is on those board of directors, and you say, okay, those are people that we want to network with for a potential referral or because we want that piece of business. So there's certainly a business aspect behind it, but you also have to couple that with the passion that the partner has for the organization to make sure that they're going to commit the time and the resources.
Right. So you've just talked about a couple of great ways, you know, of listening to the partners and helping them define where they should be involved and something that they're interested in. I agree with you totally. That's a key point.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of the scale, what do you find is the greatest challenge in marketing CPA firms?
I might get some hate mail on this one.
it's
partner participation and commitment and engagement. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, it's not because, well, for the most part, it's not because they don't want to. be involved in executing the strategy that the marketing department has put into place. They are so focused on client service, which they absolutely should be, but it's very often that then the marketing strategies and the business development pursuits, those things tend to fall by the wayside. And again, not because they are deliberately trying to get out of having to do something, but it's just the nature of the beast. And so that's the biggest challenge, is because the market out there that we want to touch and that we want to engage in to increase our circles of influence and increase our referral sources and increase our share of the marketplace by getting new clients, it is not me that they're buying, it is those partners. And so we can do a lot of marketing and communications and brand awareness and those types of activities, but at the end of the day, it's truly the partners that need to be the ones who are engaging in the relationships that need to be made in order for us to grow the business. So without having them engaged, that's our biggest challenge. Fortunately, I'm pretty lucky. I don't run up against that too often. Maybe in some busier times, we might get a little bit of pushback. But for the most part, I think I'm pretty lucky in the group that I have, that they are absolutely committed and that they do commit the time and the resources, even when they look at me and say, do I really need to go? And I tell them, yes, you do need to go, and they will go. But I think that's the biggest challenge.
I think you are in a fortunate position. I did a similar interview with Tom Hood from the Maryland Association of CPAs. And he talked about, you know, partner meetings and retreats and making commitments to what they're going to do. And he says, I've got this rule that when they leave the room, the partners either have to agree to like it, love it, or live with it. And I thought that was a great thing, because his point was, you know, we're going to have this discussion, we're going to make these commitments, and you have to like it or love it or live with it. I don't want to hear anything else. I don't want to hear any dissension once you leave the room. And I just I remembered that because I just thought that was a classic.
Well, and I truly do. I don't think that most of them really just don't want to do it. And I think there's also some fear around a lot of it as well. Mm-hmm. They are CPAs, and they are traditionally very introverted people. Now, there's absolutely a lot of exceptions to the rule, but traditionally, CPAs are introverted, and marketing is not comfortable for them. And I think it's really important as marketers that we help them get comfortable with it by really working closely with them to figure out what their strengths are around marketing. Maybe they're fantastic writers. Maybe they really like to go to networking events. Maybe they like to give presentations. I mean, to find those strengths and then hone in on those strengths and not force them to do. If you have somebody that does not like going to a networking event, why are you going to force them to do that?
That's right. I agree totally. Because they'll be the one standing in the corner with their arms crossed, you know, looking very unhappy. And that's not what you want.
No, it's not.
Oh, gosh. Jamie, so, I mean, obviously you've been in this industry for a while. What are the biggest changes that you've noticed in accounting marketing, let's say, over the past 5 years?
Well, we're definitely seeing a bigger increase in business development activities, for sure. Certainly more firms are hiring business development directors. We have seen quite an increase in that role over the last 5 years. And if firms are not hiring specific business development directors, they're asking their marketing directors to become more business development oriented. So that's one thing that I have seen. Another thing that I've seen, we certainly can't ignore how much social media has and digital media has grown as far as the role that it plays in our marketing strategy, and we certainly can't ignore that. And I think the third thing is, and maybe this is just because I'm older, but I think marketing directors are really having to be a lot more strategic and digging into numbers than we ever have before.
Mm-hmm. Well, because their partners are asking them for the results of the initiatives that they're implementing.
Yes. Yes. And it used to be 13 years ago, everything, a lot of the marketing initiatives were around branding and brochures and newsletters and all in print, mind you, back
mm-hmm.
then.
Mm-hmm.
And now, fast forward to 2013, everything is really more focused around strategy and niche marketing and developing a true pursuit process with your pipeline that you have. And there's, and websites, you know, 13 years ago, I think our website was still just a glorified brochure that was on the internet. Now it's truly a business development tool. And I remember probably maybe 6 or 7 years ago, we were still saying, oh, well, we don't really get business through the internet, but you have to be there because if people look for you, you have to at least have some kind of a presence. Well, times, they certainly have changed because we absolutely get business directly through our website.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's that new generation of business owner coming up. Wouldn't you agree that?
Absolutely.
Just like, you know, our staff people and the younger marketers, they are totally comfortable with this technology and social
mm-hmm.
media and how all of this works and what it could mean to business.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's some different views, if you will, perhaps from older generation partners versus younger generation partners of whether the web is going to be a lead generation source, that you could actually get business online.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing that. Yeah, if you use a great combination of tools and you're consistent with your site and social media, it definitely is a lead generator.
Absolutely. We launched our new site in September of 2012, and it has paid for itself twice over with business that we have received directly through the website.
Right. That is wonderful. And that's just another way that you said, you know, being more strategic and showing the numbers, that's just another way that you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So given all these changes over the past 5 years, what's your prediction for accounting marketing for the next 5 years?
Oh, gosh. You know, I've been asked this question a lot, and I think about it a lot. I wish I had a crystal ball that I could see in the next 5 years. I think we're going to have to keep a really close eye on the economy.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're still teetering. We could go either way. I think we have a just as much chance of sliding backwards again with this economy than we do slowly itching our way out of it. And so I think we have to be very careful with how we look at the next 5 years from a marketing perspective. I think you're going to see a lot more merger activity.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a lot of it, and it's not just these really big firms eating up little firms anymore. You see a lot of like-sized firms joining forces,
mm-hmm.
and that's a whole new ballgame. If you're on the side of the firm that is coming into the bigger firm, or if your firm is losing its identity because you're joining this firm and you're going to take on that name, that's a whole new rebranding project that you're going to have to do with your marketplace and your clients. And if you're part of the firm that is bringing in a smaller firm, or the firm that perhaps is not going to carry on their name but take yours, you now have a whole new set of specialties probably that you're going to now have to go out and market that perhaps that competitor was very good at, but now you have to convince people that they now have your name and so your firm is just as good. So I think we're going to see a lot of mergers and acquisitions. I think that's going to continue.
Which, as you just said, opens up many opportunities for marketers, and they know those marketers at a very high level within their firms. You know, they're involved in the due diligence of merger candidates, and they're involved in that process, you know, pre-merger.
Absolutely, and that's, again, a whole other skill set for a marketer that you go back to your college days and you're doing your SWOT analysis when you're taking a look at, okay, what are the strengths, if we are looking for a firm to merge in as the marketing director for your firm, you can play a key role in that and looking at the potential firms to merge into yours and doing the SWOT analysis process with those firms, but then also advising the partners why certain firms might make more sense over others. You know, is it that they have a big niche in an area that you have always wanted to get into with your firm, but you knew you couldn't build it from the ground up because that other firm already has the corner of the market? You know, looking at the professionals within that firm and how active they are in the community and how well they're known, it's a very big part of higher level strategic marketers when you're looking at the M&A business.
Right.
I think we're going to still see a lot of increase on the business development front.
Mm-hmm.
You mean
firms hiring more business developers?
Either that or having marketing directors get a lot more involved on the business development side.
Okay. How so?
Well, I'll take our firm for example. I was purely marketing for umpteen years. And we have just placed so much more focus on the business development process, from implementing a pipeline to having very formal prospect lists within each of our industry niche groups. And I have to drive that process. And so while I was very purely marketing and branding and communications for so long, I am pushing more of that to my marketing coordinator, who does a fantastic job with that. And I focus a lot more on keeping track of the pipeline. I facilitate all of our niche meetings, and part of that, each niche meeting is looking at the prospect list and going through action items with each pursuit team. And so it's a lot more involved on the business development side than I have ever been.
Mm-hmm. Do you go on meetings with the prospects?
Sometimes. Okay. Sometimes. We try to send the partner and the manager that would be working with that potential client, mm-hmm. because that truly is the relationship that the client's going to have. Now, if it's a client that we really don't know much about them and they have invited us to come out, maybe somebody that we hadn't been pursuing ourselves, so we really don't know a whole lot about them, sometimes I will go because I hear things that the partner doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
They hear all the technical things. I hear the soft, like mm-hmm. the pain,
right.
where they're feeling pain, what they're really upset about. You know, it probably doesn't have anything to do with a number on a piece of paper.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was getting at. But I think that's a special skill. So there's always a danger in partners expecting their marketers to be business developers.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
They, you know, you've got an interesting role there with your firm. I would just caution, you know, that firms need to be careful about the expectations they have of their marketers. You know, and
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because not everybody... not all marketers have an interest in business development, and that's okay. And
right.
that's, you have to, we actually did hire a business developer about 3 years ago. And when we did that, my managing partner said to me directly, he said, "Jamie, we value what you do on the marketing side, and that's what we want you to focus on. We want you to focus on the marketing piece because we know that's your strength and we value the fact that you do that." So that meant a lot to me because at the time I really didn't want to do any business development activities. It just wasn't something that I wanted to do. I wanted to continue to focus on our marketing activities. So when the gentleman that we hired to be our business developer was here for about 3 years, and he is no longer with the firm. And when he was leaving, which was just in April of this year, I realized that I had become more comfortable with the possibility of me being more involved with that. So it really was me going to the partners to say, look, I got this. I can handle this, at least for now. If we make a decision to hire another director of business development somewhere down the road, then we can get to that. But in the meantime, I don't want this process to slip, and I don't want things to fall through the cracks. But I felt more comfortable doing it.
Right. And it sounds like that you're taking on that role evolved over time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
But Jamie, when you think about your skills, which of your personal skills do you think contributes most to your success?
My personal skills. I think, you know, you take all of those profile tests, like
mm-hmm.
the DISC and the Myers-Briggs, and you take all of these tests, and mine always come back as I want to be the one that makes sure everybody is okay. And it's, I don't know, it's the nurturer in me, I think. But I laugh, but I think that has had a big part of it. And I think because I don't come across as you must do this, I come at it from more of a, look, I want you to be comfortable with this. I don't want this to intimidate you. I want to make sure that we're having fun with what we're doing, because if you're enjoying it, you're going to do more of it, which is only better for you, and it's better for the firm. So I work with the staff, the seniors, the managers, the senior managers, and the first thing I say to them every time I sit down to talk to them is, you know that I'm never going to make you do anything you don't want to do. And I think that's been the biggest part of it, is, and they trust me that I'm not, because I've never gone back on that word.
Right.
And I tell them, until you're a partner, I will not force you to do things you don't want to do. Now, when you're a partner, that's a different story. But,
then they're fair game, huh?
Right. Then I will force you to do things that you don't want to do. But I think that's the biggest thing. I think it's my that nurturing, and that I make them feel comfortable and excited about the process. I actually just had a meeting with the staff accountants and senior accountants, I guess it was just last week, and we are starting to introduce them to each having their own personal marketing plan and developing a pipeline, and that's very scary to them. And so the first thing I said to them was, look, just because this has a column for potential fees that might be brought into the firm and the percentage of the chance percentage that you really think you're going to pull it in, I said, don't worry about that. You don't have to worry about that until you're a manager. Let's just focus on getting used to this process. And all we're going to do is take a look at where your key client relationships. What I want you to focus on is really just providing the most amazing client service you can to your clients. That's what I want you to focus on
mm-hmm.
from a client perspective. And then we went through and, you know, with their COIs and referral sources, talked about how to kind of think about nurturing those and, you know, the types of clients that make sense for the firm. I wanted them to start recognizing what might be a good client. And I got an email from one of them afterwards, and she said, okay, I do have to admit that this whole process scared me. She said, but I want to thank you because you made it not so scary. And I'm going to really sit down and think about where I want to go get involved in the community, because that's another thing that we talked about. And so that meant a lot to me, because she's very introverted, very, very introverted. And I knew that it would scare her. So for her to take the time to send me an email and say, thanks for not making it scary.
Right. That's a wonderful testament. And I need to mention as well, I mean, what a long-term view the LBA group is taking by getting your staff and seniors,
mm-hmm.
you know, involved and educating them about this process at such an early point in their careers.
Uh-huh. That's kind of been how the marketing culture here is so amazing. And I laugh. Obviously, tax and accounting is a huge part of a CPA firm, but here, marketing is probably right up there with tax and accounting and market. I mean, that's just how, what I like to say, that's how we roll at the LBA group.
That's awesome. So Jamie, so tell me, I know you've kind of referred to different things, you know, during our conversation so far, but what are some of the factors or skills that can enable accounting marketers to be successful? What needs to be in place?
I think you have to be confident. Mm-hmm. That's not the same as arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
I do think you have to have some confidence, and because it can be very intimidating to sit across the table from partners in a CPA firm. They are very smart people.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be confident in the fact that what you are helping them do is helping them grow their firm. And so I think that's important. I think that you have to be prepared. You cannot walk into a meeting without being completely prepared. And there does have to be some semblance of a strategist within you. You know, partners, we talked about this earlier, partners are getting to a point where they don't really want to hear the rah-rah. They want to hear the strategy and how it's going to help the firm grow. I also think it's just uberly important that marketers understand the accounting profession and the industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big one you've just mentioned. They really need to know how a firm
yes.
works, how they make money, how they, so that you know, not to expect them to go out and you know manage an audit, but
mm-hmm.
they need to know how the firm works, how they
mm-hmm.
make a profit, you know what the different measures are.
Absolutely.
To be able to get inside the heads of accountants.
Yes, you have to understand how each different department within the firm, how they're measured, you know, how do we know that was a successful engagement? We have to, I think marketers need to absolutely understand every service that the firm provides, you know, the services that we provide, who we provide them to, why we provide them. So we have a healthcare consulting group, and they do chart audits. Okay, well, what is that? Well, why would a physician practice need a chart audit? We need to understand that ourselves. And for how much? Marketers have to understand the fee structure.
Right, you're exactly right. Because if you're going to be part of the messaging and perhaps working on proposals or, you know,
mm-hmm.
the dialogue with people in these different areas, you need to be able to, you know, talk the talk.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that all comes from sitting back, listening, and learning. It's a constant learning process. And there is not a partner in a CPA firm across the country that would say no if a marketing director went to them and said, I'd really like to just sit down and have you tell me exactly what you do and how you do it and for whom and why. This is what they do. They love, CPAs love what they do.
Mm-hmm. Right. They do. Now, you've mentioned, I think, a couple things already, because I wanted to ask you about the best piece of advice you could give to accounting marketers, and you've mentioned a couple of times already about the importance of listening.
Uh-huh. And that's it.
Okay. All right. So they really need to be paying attention and understanding what their firm does, what the partners do, learn what they're comfortable with,
mm-hmm.
all the things that you've already said today.
And
okay.
just never stop learning.
Mm-hmm.
I learn something new every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're looking for it, I believe that you do learn something, but you have to be open to it. you know?
Yes, you do.
Right. So tell me then, what is your best piece of advice for managing partners?
Be the champion for your marketing director. Just really support the role and the initiatives, which means obviously the managing partner and the marketing director really have to have a great line of communication and be able to go to the rest of the partner group when the marketing director takes a strategy or an initiative, a suggested initiative, or comes to the rest of the partner group with the marketing plan and budget for the next year. I would certainly hope that that's already gone through the managing partner and that they're on the same page, but that managing partner has to just be right there as the biggest champion and supporter for the marketing director, because we all know that everything that comes, it has to come from the top, and this is no different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, to be that champion, and now that doesn't mean that managing partners should just agree with everything that the marketing director comes to them with. Now, I wish that was the case. But
that would be too easy.
It would be too easy. It would be too easy. And, you know, if you're in a firm that doesn't have a marketing director, if you're in a firm that is looking to hire a marketing director, then you really have to be sure that the entire partner group is on board with what the expectations of that marketing director are. Because I've seen so many times where there really is not a very clear set of expectations or goals, and sometimes it's because the partners just don't know what this person should be doing for them.
Mm-hmm. But all of them have a different idea.
Yes. And so to make sure, right, or you could have five partners and they each have a different idea.
That's right.
And so I think that making sure that the expectations and goals are very clear and to everybody, and that the managing partner supports what the marketing director is trying to accomplish based on those expectations and goals.
Right. Fabulous. So let me ask you one last question, more of a fun question.
Okay.
So tell me, Gator football and Red Sox baseball?
Okay. Well, see, I'm an Air Force brat, Jean.
Oh.
So I have moved all over the country. You know, as a kid, I moved every 3 years. And my father was a colonel in the Air Force. And when he retired, we retired out of Langley Air Force Base in Virginia. And he got a civilian job that moved the family down here to Jacksonville, Florida. So I really don't have, you know, most people, all their teams are in one little state. And I just went with my heart. And when you live in Jacksonville, you're either a Gator or a Seminole for the most part. And I don't know. I went the orange and blue route. And as a matter of fact, my sister just dropped my niece off on Wednesday. She starts classes at the University of Florida on Monday. She's our newest Gator. Yes,
oh,
we're very proud of her.
Goodness.
And then Red Sox baseball. I was living in Rhode Island, and that's actually where I got my start in accounting marketing. I worked for a fabulous firm in Providence, Rhode Island, and I just fell in love with the Red Sox. There was something about going to Fenway, and I'm just a huge Red Sox fan, and I love watching them play. And then, I don't know, I married a Yankees fan. How that happened, I'm not quite sure.
My niece did the same thing. My niece is a Yankees fan, and her husband is a Red Sox fan. So.
Yeah, I makes it interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The real issue is when they play each other, I think, and they have to just then, you know, go to their own sides of the room.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
As they watch the game.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
Well, we have been talking today with Jamie Thomas, the Director of Marketing and Communications at the LBA Group. And Jamie is the 2013 Marketer of the Year. Again, Jamie, congratulations. It was very well deserved.
Oh, thank you, Jean. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.